ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So this is the story of Shukanya and Chaivana Muni. So I'll just read the Sanskrit and then the word-by-word synonyms. We'll do it responsibly and then go on to the translation and purport. Sukanya Chaivanam Prapya Patim Paramakopanam Priyinayam Asachitagyo Apramatanu Vrittivihi. Okay. So you can repeat, Sukanya.
Sukanya.
The girl named Sukanya.
The girl named Sukanya.
The daughter of King Sariati.
The daughter of King Sariati.
Chaivanam. The great sage Chaivana Muni.
The great sage
Chaivana
Muni.
Prapya. After obtaining.
After obtaining.
Patim.
Patim.
As her husband.
As her husband.
Paramakopanam.
Who
was always very angry.
Prinayamasa.
She satisfied him. Chitakya.
Understanding the mind of her husband.
Apramata anuvrittivihi.
By executing services without being bewildered.
Translation. Chaivana Muni was very irritable, but since Sukanya had gotten him as her husband, she dealt with him carefully according to his mood. Knowing his mind, she performed service to him without being bewildered. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So, you householders may not want to listen to this purport. So, this is, you'll hear. This is an indication of relationship between husband and wife. A great personality like Chaivana Muni has a temperament of always wanting to be in a superior position. Such a person cannot submit to anyone. Therefore, Chaivana Muni had an irritable temperament. His wife, Sukanya, could understand his attitude, and under the circumstances, she treated him accordingly. If any wife wants to be happy with her husband, she must try to understand the husband's temperament and please him. This is victory for a woman. Even in the dealings of Lord Krishna, I'll explain the whole thing, with his different queens, it has been seen that although the queens were daughters of great kings, they placed themselves before Lord Krishna as his maidservants. However great a woman may be, she must place herself before her husband in this way. That is, she must be ready to carry out her husband's orders and please him in all circumstances. Of course, not if he's fallen. Then her life will be successful. When the wife becomes as irritable as the husband, their life at home is sure to be disturbed or ultimately completely broken. In the modern day, the wife is never submissive, and therefore home life is broken even by slight incidents. Either the wife or the husband may take advantage of the divorce laws. According to Vedic law, however, there's no such thing as divorce laws, and a woman must be trained to be submissive to the will of her husband. Westerners contend that this is a slave mentality for the wife, but actually is not, is the tactic by which a woman can conquer the heart of her husband, however irritable or cruel he may be.
Oh, my
God. Anyway, in this case, don't worry, I'll explain everything.
Yeah.
We clearly see that although Chaivana Muni was not young, but indeed old enough to be Sukanya's grandfather and also very irritable, Sukanya, the beautiful young daughter of a king, submitted herself to her old husband and tried to please him in all respects. Thus, she was a faithful and chaste wife. So, let's see. Sukanya chavanam prapya patim paramakopanam priyenayam asuchitakya apramatanu vritti bihi. So, om gana timidandasha gananjana shalakaya chakshura meditam gena tasmai shigurve namaha. So, the reason I picked this applies not only to the household life, but also to all relationships, and I'll explain that after I tell the story. So the story is, once upon a time, there was a great king, his name was Sariati. And Sariati was traveling all over with his soldiers, and accompanying them was his daughter, Sukanya. Sukanya means like young girl. And Su means like very beautiful, auspicious, etc., like that, like Subhadra. You understand? So, very beautiful girl. So they came to the ashram of Chaivanamuni. And Chaivanamuni was doing some meditation inside an ant hole. He was living inside an ant hole. And so they came, and as Prabhupada further explains it in a class. When they came, Chaivanamuni kept looking out from his ant hole at Sukanya, since she was so beautiful. You know, just peeping out. You know, he's made himself very small. And Sukanya, she saw something that looked glowing from the ant hole. And what she did is she took a little piece of grass and pierced it. So that hit him in the eye. You know, he wasn't too happy about that. And as a result of that pain and his getting angry, all of King Saryati's soldiers got constipation. In other words, they are in trouble. And anyway, so Saryati understood that his soldiers or someone in his entourage had made an error. So finally he goes to Chaivanamuni and says, Chaivanamuni, please forgive us. Someone has committed an offense at your ashram. And in the meantime, Chaivanamuni, while the king is telling him this, keeps looking at Sukanya. You know, the king is saying, forgive me, and he goes. He's not looking at the king, he's looking at his daughter. So the king gets the message and says, all right, the only thing that's going to placate him is give him my daughter. So he says, would you like her? And Chaivanamuni says, basically, I thought you'd never ask. So anyway, so they get married, and the father goes away, you know, thinking, oh my God, my daughter's married to this old guy. You know, he's just like old enough to be the grandfather, great-grandfather, or something like that. And Prabhupada said, when you get old, you get a little cranky. Not everybody. I mean, Prabhupada was very humble. He said, please excuse me for being cranky, you know. But Prabhupada didn't get cranky, obviously. So, but Chaivanamuni was irritable because he was great Muni. He was married to the Kshatriya girl, which is actually a lower class. And he was old, you know. And, you know, when you're old, you have all sorts of problems when you get old. You know, your teeth fall out, and you don't have as much energy. And anyway, things are disturbing. So he was irritable, as described here. And Sukanya was serving him very nicely. And he became so pleased with Sukanya. See, it's nice to have a husband like Chaivanamuni. Because he became so pleased. He was actually a great mystic, too. That he said to Sukanya, I got to reward you for all of your devotion. And she, of course, didn't ask for anything. But he said, I am going to reward you by making myself young. And so he had a method of making himself young. He couldn't do it by himself. He had to call for the Ashvini Kumaras, who were the ministers or the doctors of the demigods. They're twins, Ashvini Kumaras. They were also the fathers of Nakula and Sahadeva in the Mahabharata. So he calls for them and he says, look guys, I'm going to make a deal with you. I will give you something that you've always wanted. And you will give something that I want. And he says, I want to be young again. And he asked them, what do you want? And they said, we want to drink the amrit, the nectar the demigods get, because they never share it with us. You know, that makes you eternal. And it wasn't the amrit. It was the offerings of the, what is that liquor called that they offer? Soma ras. I want to drink the soma ras. I want to drink the soma ras. So he's generally not allowed to, they're generally not allowed to drink the soma ras. So he told them, yes, I'll let you drink the soma ras. So they made the deal, and the Ashvini Kumaras created this nice lake. And the three of them, or the two Ashvini Kumaras, grabbed the two hands on both sides of Chaivanamuni, marched into the lake. And they all came back out like so young and attractive and handsome and wow. any woman would fall for him immediately. And so Sukanya didn't really know which one was her husband, because, you know, they all looked alike. And so she prayed to the Ashwini Kumaras, please, please show me the one who is my husband. I have to be chaste. And the Ashwini Kumaras were so happy, they gave her Chaivana Muni back. But at that time, you know, he was, wow. He was, you know, like Rambo or whatever. Or, yeah, anyway, he was quite well-looking, whatever that means. And so she got her reward. At the same time, he arranged for the Ashwini Kumaras to get the Somaras, and Indra was so angry that Indra was going to hit him with his thunderbolt, but this Chaivana Muni was able to paralyze Indra's hand, so Indra wasn't able to fire the thunderbolt. So anyway, so that's the whole story. So what does that mean? I mean, there's different levels of meaning here. And of course, there is the direct meaning here where the wife is like that with the husband. As long as the husband is not fallen, that's a caveat. Because you have that whole story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Amoga, who was the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he was married to his wife Sati, who was the daughter of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Amoga criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for eating too much. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was running after Amoga to beat him, but because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was much older, he was not able to catch him. And so at that point, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife said that our daughter Sati is now a widow. In other words, here is someone who's fallen. So it's not the duty of a wife to serve a husband to go to hell. Mm-hmm. And also, in the Krishna conscious marriage, and here you're not specifically talking about a Krishna conscious marriage in this particular verse in purport, they both should be serving each other. Mm-hmm. It should be one of mutual service. But still, even in the mutual service, there has to be tolerance. People nowadays don't have this idea of sticking to obligations that they have. Mm. They make a promise, and as they say, promises are meant to be broken. You've heard of that thing before?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You cross your fingers, you know, as you make a promise. So you make some promise, and then what's the use of that promise in Kali Yuga? That's the symptom of truthfulness, which is fast diminishing in Kali Yuga. So someone should stick to their obligations through hell or high water. And the principle I wanted to bring out here was one of loyalty, which is actually, to me, I mean, that's I think about this all the time, because, you know, we deal with people who, let's say, have left Prabhupada's movement for one reason or other. And they may have some reasons, like the temple president beat me or something. Or they didn't give me enough sweets. You know, they didn't give me enough sweets and Krishna Balaram Mandir, you know. So this other, Gaudiya Math is offering me 10 sweets and Krishna Balaram Mandir is only offering me one sweet a day. So, you know, we have to shop for whoever offers the most sweets. So I was thinking about this in regard to our relationship with Prabhupada. And it's not really meant to criticize any particular individual, but those who have established a relationship with Prabhupada and their guru, who is a follower of Prabhupada, have to have this same mood. Not that the guru should be irritable. Although, Prabhupada actually said that it's the guru's business to chastise the disciple. He was speaking to Surabhi Maharaj after Surabhi Maharaj had helped construct the Krishna Balaram Mandir, and all the devotees were saying, oh, Surabhi Maharaj has done a great service. And Prabhupada said, you know, basically he was on a morning walk, he said, but my business is to chastise like that. So, anyway, and also it says that several things get better with beating. One of them is a disciple. Anyway, so I don't beat so much. So I use more sarcasm, which is actually much more effective, joking and sarcasm in Kali Yuga. So the point is that one should stick with the spiritual master's mission. And I've taken that as my life and soul of Krishna consciousness. The principle, to me, like the overriding principle, is the principle of loyalty to Prabhupada. And I was just writing to one devotee in North Carolina and telling him that one should always be thinking, when making decisions in life, what would Prabhupada want? Because even when Prabhupada is not present or the spiritual master is not present, one has to internalize that direction. The devotee was asking me, "You, how does one internalize?" I said, "By hearing about, hearing the words of, reading the books of." You're talking about Prabhupada. We were talking about Prabhupada in this particular context. And understanding that one is a servant. As we mentioned before class, in regard to Krishna sometimes asking his devotees or sending his devotees to be demons, and the devotees not complaining, they just understand that, you know, my business is to give Krishna pleasure. And if Krishna, you know, sends me to hell in doing so, or makes me miserable in doing so, like the gopis would say, you know, if my unhappiness is Krishna's happiness, then my unhappiness is happiness, you know. I mean, how to understand that? Maybe at our level it's not quite understandable. But really, that's the point. You know, the same relationship that Chaivana Muni, the Sukanya had with Chaivana Muni, we should have all of us in this come with Srila Prabhupada. That is just like our business. And then we get rewarded not by having a young husband. What's the use of a young husband anyway? We get rewarded by getting a spiritual body, just like Chaivana Muni got a youthful body. What's the use of a youthful body? Of course, you have that story in the Bhagavatam about Yayati approaching his sons to exchange his old age for their youth. Because he hadn't enjoyed it as much as he wanted to with Sarmishta. Anyway, so then we get a spiritual body. I mean, that's the secret of success. My understanding is that's the secret of success in spiritual life. That loyalty and chastity to Srila Prabhupada and his mission. And then, you know, there's so many things to tolerate in the meantime, too. And there may be so many offers that you may get from other people. Just like nowadays, people switch jobs all the time. I mean, maybe not where you live. But I was speaking to a disciple in Australia, and you know it seems like every 6 months he's switching another job. Oh. I said, you know, how does this look on your CV? You know what a CV is?
Like a fancy resume.
A resume, yeah. Curriculum vitae. That means, you know, your resume,
yeah.
Or your history, your work history. And he says, well, he said something really funny to me. He said, if the people see I stay too long in a job, it looks bad. And I was thinking, Hare Krishna. So that's the modern world. And of course, America's not quite like that. In America, of course, people are moving houses, you know, switching places where they live quite dramatically. But jobs, usually they like to stay in until they're fired. But in Australia, especially someone who's highly qualified, you know, there's always these job hunters, you know, and people are looking for employees like that. So anyway, this devotee is highly qualified, so he has no problem getting a job anywhere and has high-paid, high-quality job. So we shouldn't be like that, looking for better employment or better, like we said, better ladus. The ladus are always greener on the other side. You ever heard about that? There's a saying in English, the grass is always greener.
The grass,
yeah, so that's what I'm just like mixing the two. The ladus are always sweeter on the other side. So we should just like do that, and then we're assured of success. like Sukanya was assured of success by serving her husband in this way. And of course, this particular arrangement between husband and wife cannot really be replicated now in Kali Yuga. You know, have to assuage their fear. You know, it can't be replicated, but people should remain loyal. Like even even sometimes it's just like an intolerable situation, but they shouldn't like get divorced and remarry. This is the point. You know, once you made that arrangement, then you just stick with it. Even if you're not living in the same place, you stick, you know, you don't have to live in the same house and fight all the time, but still, one should stick. One should stick and not jump from one husband to another, one wife to another, or one guru to another, etc., like that. You know, that's chastity. And this is actually very important. Chastity applies not only to the woman, not only the husband, but also to all of us in relationship with Prabhupada. And that's my secret of whatever success I've achieved in Krishna consciousness, is that I just remain loyal to Prabhupada. I'm just serving Prabhupada. And, you know, loyal to the devotees, also loyal to disciples and people who have taken shelter, and loyal to the deities that I have some duty with. You know, just stick to our obligations. So, any questions or comments? Keep it short. You can be like Sukanya.
Yeah.
Sometimes people read this and then they try to enforce that on their wives. That's a really common thing. And they don't understand also that, you know, that women can be just as Krishna conscious as men, and women can take positions of responsibility, and women can be gurus of the Krishna consciousness movement, and they just want one size to fit all, not empowering people. So Prabhupada would just take people's talents and take people's propensities and use them, whether they were men or women in Krishna consciousness, not pigeonhole someone or stick them in a position that they weren't comfortable with. So we have to be careful and practical in Kali Yuga too. Things are a little bit different. Yeah.
Are the grand disciples directly accountable to Srila Prabhupada?
Yeah. Everybody. Because Prabhupada's the founder of Acharya.
So we shouldn't wait for our guru's order to go out and preach, and we should preach under the order of Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, I mean, coordinate with the guru.
Right.
I mean, if the guru says cook, that's part of preaching too, you know.
Right.
You know, so we have to see, like, or if the guru says take care of the deities are part of preaching too. It's not that we just say, you know, I have Prabhupada's order to preach Gurudev, you know, the guru's saying, well, who's going to take care of the deities? And they say, you, Guru Dave. You know, the relationship with the spiritual master. But if the spiritual master hasn't told you to go out and preach, you still can go out and preach, you know, if you have time. I mean, everybody's meant to preach one way or the other. Whether through cooking, whether through addressing the deities, whether through directly going out, you know, Krishna West. Whether through assisting. Prabhupada said, a devotee who organizes the Sankirtan party is very dear to Krishna. So someone who just stays back in the temple and organizes, he gets the same benefit. Like in an army, most of the army is support troops. So if you're supporting the preaching, but if you're just going to Radha Kund and just trying to see Radharani and Krishna, be very, very dangerous. I was just reading last night one story about two disciples who actually appointed Acharya, they weren't appointed, but who took on the post of Acharyas in the Gaudiya Math, became Babaji's in Radha Kund. And the Babaji's will actually use that. They were practically the most prominent, two of the most prominent disciples of Bhakti, Sananta Saraswati Thakur. So the Babaji's use that as a talking point to argue, to try to convince ISKCON devotees that these devotees realize what was better. And they became Babaji's. You understand? So, but the history, the actual history is, these devotees were breaking the regulated principles. In other words, one had a prostitute girlfriend, for example. And so the Babaji's, at least the Babaji's they associated with, allowed that. And so this previous sannyasi came to Radhakund with his prostitute girlfriend. And the Babaji said, you know, this is not illicit, you know. It's just like any other bodily function, like going to the bathroom or anything like that. And anyway, even though they were so educated, they wrote so many things, they criticized their own guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But they, in essence, they were doing this so that they could break the principles, enjoy bodily relationships, and not feel guilty in the process of doing that. So basically, yeah, we're not meant to just simply sit down and chant and engage in nirjana bhajan. We're meant to go out and save the world, basically. Not only in the Indian world, the Western world, too. That's Krishna West. Mm-hmm. Krishna West is the best. Mm-hmm. So, any other questions? Cooling group, you must have a question. Yeah.
I heard that, I'm not biased one way or the other, but I've heard that neither Rupa Goswami nor Srila Prabhupada said that everybody had to practice Raghunanda.
Never said that. They never said everybody had to practice Raghunanda.
And in order to go to Loka Vrindavan.
No, that's statements. Well, in order to go to the local, there are statements. Prabhupada never said that, but there are statements that as one progresses, if one simply remains on the Vaidhi platform, then one will go to Vaikuntha. There are statements like that, and Rupa Goswami's writings. But at the right stage, you know, which is basically Nishta and above, then, but the Raghunuga Sadhana for us automatically manifests in the heart as we're preaching Krishna consciousness. It's not an external. Neither did Rupa Goswami. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about it in the Jiva Dharma, of course, the Raghunuga Sadhana. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada indicated, and especially in that Vrindavan Bhajan prayer, poem, which I'm very fond of reciting, indicated that it will automatically manifest in the heart of one who is preaching. So our method of Raghunuga is not the Ekadashi Bhava, you know, the type of Raghunuga initiation and everything like that. That is mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Our method of Raghunuga comes from preaching Krishna consciousness. So yes, Raghunuga, we do have to get above the Vaidhi platform to go to Goloka Vrindavan, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Radha and Krishna worshipped on the spontaneous platform. Seems on the Vaidhi platform, we worship Lakshmi Narayan.
Is there a lot of misunderstanding about this?
Yeah.
Because I hear people more and more saying that, talking about Raghunuga all the time.
Yeah, well, that's because there's some influence of other organizations in Nugaloka that you hear.
Right.
But first of all, it's something that manifests in the heart and shouldn't be talked about. I mean, even Lord Chaitanya didn't talk about these things publicly. He talked about these things with like 3.5 intimate associates. You know that, right? Like Sikhamiti, Sikhamiti's sister, Ramananda Roy, and Swarup Damodar Goswami. He didn't talk about it with King Prataparudra. You never hear him say, "Hey, King, you're a gopi." You know, these are very intimate things, whereas fools rush in where angels fear to tread. So these things should not be discussed. I mean, there is a whole wave of Sahajism that's influencing ISKCON right now. That's a problem, a big problem. And it's coming from outside and also inside. Not only outside, it's coming from inside. Oh, it stops the preaching. One gets into the material conception of life because you project your own bodily consciousness on the spiritual realm. You know, it just so it's something that develops internally as one preaches, and one should consult with the spiritual master and, you know, maybe another advanced devotee. But there's no need of this Ekadasha Bhava or Siddha Pranali.
What's Ekadasha? How do you say Ekadasha?
Ekadasha. Ekadasha. Like Ekadasi?
Ekadasha.
Ekadasha. Anyway, Ekadasha Bhava means 11 symptoms of your bhava or emotion. Like the way you dress, like for example, the color of your sari. I mean, what good would it do you if I told you that?
I don't know to wear sari.
Well, I'll have to show you. But what? Well, let's say if I said, Gokulendra, I realize that you're a cow in the spiritual world. Probably wouldn't like it anyway.
No, I would. I would make a lot of meal sweets.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's good. I don't have to go to the store.
The problem is the cow doesn't eat milk sweets.
No, spiritual cow is different.
No, the spiritual cow doesn't eat.
I can take any form that I like.
No, take the form that Krishna likes.
Yeah, I mean, but
Krishna just wants you to supply milk sweets.
One who is willing.
And Krishna wants you to eat grass. So let's say I told you that.
Yeah, okay.
What would you do about it? You're not ready to hear that.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
You're not ready, so. And so you know, prematurely, you could tell someone that, it's probably not even true. And then it just stimulates their sex desire, as far as gopi, you know, being gopis, not cows, don't. But. You know, you just think of, you know, kissing Krishna, and then you relate that to how you used to kiss your cat when you were young, or something like that. You know, your boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, and you just don't, you know, there's no way you can relate it in your mind as long as you have material consciousness, isn't it?
What is the reason why people do that?
Because they're not patient, they're jumping. Yeah. Big, big monkey, big, big jumping. And then it stimulates their sex desire. Mm-hmm. And like the story with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he wanted the body of his spiritual master, Gorgashodas Babaji Maharaj, he asked, you know, who has that not had illicit sex in the last month or 2 weeks, a fortnight, or, you know, a few days, and nobody stepped forward. So, you know, obviously, you know, there were a lot of them not following the principle. I'm not saying everyone, but there were a lot. I'm not saying everyone's not following. There may be sincere souls. So it's very attractive, and it's especially for sentimental people. Like if you go to Radha Kund, you'll see the Westerners, they're generally Russians, Russian ladies. You know, it's a very sentimental type of thing. And they're not getting purified, they're getting, not all of them, I'm not going to criticize everybody, but Prabhupada said you'll get putrefied if you approach prematurely. So, yeah, probably just read Prabhupada's Vrindavan Bhajan, where he says that this Nirjana Bhajan, which is basically the same thing, you know, without people, Nirjana Bhajan, being absorbed in internal life, will manifest automatically. This, I think you even have that Vrindavan Bhajan here, I can read that section. Where Prabhupada says
that's
that.
Good news.
That's good news. You never heard this before?
Yes, I heard, but I just not thinking about this much.
Well, we should want to advance to the stage.
I'm thinking about advancement.
We should know the different stages of advancement and want to see if I have it. We should want to come to the higher stage of Krishna.
I want to know the stage.
But you know the stages already.
I heard about the stages.
All right. Yeah. I don't have it here. I thought I had it. Maybe I have it under Prabhupada. No. I don't seem to have it. I mean, I have it on my computer, I just don't have it on the iPad. Anti-porting. Anyway, so many things. Authors, titles. Who is it? Maybe it's. No, Vrindavan Das Thakur, but not Vrindavan Bhajan. So anyway, it'll manifest, but we should be aware of the stages, and when it manifests, we don't think we've lost our mind. So, what's happening? I'm seeing Krishna in the gopis. I better go to the doctor. So anyway, so we have to be conscious. It's interesting. It changes color according to the color of the room. So any other questions? No? Yeah.
I'm curious.
Preach purely, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about what it is to preach, because so often it does mean being on the front lines and being out there and speaking to people.
Yeah.
And some people have less time or more limited to be able to do that, and other people have their whole
existence
all their time to be able to do it. So I'm just kind of curious, you know, how do you define preaching?
Well, first of all, feeling compassion for others. Preaching starts with the mood of compassion. Without the mood of compassion, it's not, I may be preaching, but it's not Krishna conscious preaching. It's not sharing. Even the word preaching, I'm trying to get away from using the word preaching, but it comes out by accident all the time. So like sharing Krishna consciousness, we should use rather than preaching. So first of all, we have to be compassionate to others, cultivate compassion in every circumstance that we're in, whether we're in the workplace or whatever. Secondly, we have to get to know the person to be able to explain Krishna consciousness to them. People, we have to show some interest in people. I mean, whatever success I have is when, I'm communicating with people, I ask them about themselves. And it has to be genuine interest. It can't be just like a strategy.
Right.
You have to be generally interested in people and helping people and in their lives. You have to like people. Not just like be interested in the numbers. And then that can be cultivated all the time. And then whatever we're doing, let's say if you're at the workplace, you're interacting with people. So some way or other, bringing people closer to Krishna with prasadam or your own personal interactions, not pushing Krishna on people, but allowing people to, allowing Krishna to pull them. And that's what I've seen is the best thing. That's what we do in Krishna West. There's no heavy preaching, isn't it?
No, not at all.
Not at all. We all sit down and chant japa together and Hare Krishna, like that. Okay. You getting high yet? Hare Krishna. No, we don't do that. I'm just teasing. No, we don't do that. We don't do that, but we discuss, read a little bit from the Bhagavad Gita, meditate on the meaning of the Bhagavad Gita, have a good time with kirtan.
We
have
do these cards, huh? Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Remember last time we got all those cards?
Yeah, I got it from you.
Yeah. So, the cards, we read people's fortune. You're going to be Krishna conscious. I see you're going to shave your head tomorrow. Yeah, no, we don't quite do that.
I can learn palm reading.
No, that's not necessary. Because that means you gotta touch women's palms. You don't want to do it.
With the gloves.
Oh yeah, they'll appreciate that. They will appreciate that. Anyway, so it just means understanding, loving people. And that's all part of preaching because we're always interacting with people.
Right. Yeah. Setting a
good example.
A good example.
Like there's one disciple in the UK. Who's just getting it? She works as a social worker, and she's getting everyone to chant Gauranga.
Gauranga.
She says to her clients who come in, what's the magic word? Gauranga. She goes to the supermarket, she says Gauranga. She stops people on the street. I was embarrassed when I was with her one time because she would just like stop the policeman and say, hey, can you say Gauranga? So, we shouldn't be. Of course, she has that prerogative
right,
to do that, but I couldn't do it like that.
Like,
So whatever way possible, like email. I keep touch with so many people by email. I mean, this, even today I was writing to so many people about, you know, Krishna consciousness, some of the Krishna West people. I was writing to this morning, at least two of the Krishna West people. I was writing to, and, you know, Akshay asks millions of questions every 2 days, you know. So that's how we preach in a practical way. We better get ready to go. Okay, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.